And we're holding on Kofches Amud Beis about halfway down the wide lines. Still in the middle of talking about things with the Mabul. The last thing we said was that the raven had accused Noach of why you're sending Dav to me, and then Noach tells him that no, on the contrary, I have no designs on your mate. Adonabba, you're the one who did wrong by mating in the Teva. So it didn't work out with the raven. So the pasuk says, "Vayishalach haSayona meIto." He sent out the dove from with him. Liris hakalu amayim to see whether the water had eased up, whether the water was drying up. What does it mean meIto? Amar Rabbi Yemi, mekanchi diros and shal ofis tahodim im atzadikim. From here, we see that the kosher birds were together with the tzadikim. So I said yesterday there were mafoshim who explained that. Here the Gemara says that. What I meant to say was some mafoshim explained that it means not just the ofis tahodim, but all the behemoth tahodis were on the top level of the teva together with the people. And according to that, it would be only the non kosher animals that are on the second floor. Whereas according to other ways of looking at it, the Gemara is saying that only the ofis tahodim are upstairs and the Behemoth Tahoris are together with the Behemoth Tmeis on the ground floor, on the second floor. One thing is, I guess, you know, when you consider, for example, that the here we're going to talk about later on how the carnivorous animals manage during the Mabul, we're going to talk about the lion in particular. So, of course, if he has the kosher animals which are prey to them upstairs with him, then that makes a very neat way to avoid that they're not going to eat them. Yeah. Okay. Next, the pasuk says about the dove. V'hinei alei zayis torof v'fiha. The pasuk says it had an olive leaf torof in its mouth. Now, torof can mean torn off. It can mean food. So the Gemara is dashing over here that the word torof means food, meloshin teref, and that v'fiha in her mouth. Where else would it be? How else is a dove going to carry anything? Means that it had a message in its mouth. Means the dove is saying before Hashem and telling Noach, Ribbono shel Olam, Yom is a noisa merodim kazayis, even let my food be as bitter as an olive. Olives themselves are quite bitter, their leaves even more so. But given over directly to your hand, Hashem, rather than that they should be as sweet as honey and given over to a boss of a dumb. So in other words, the bird is giving a message to Hashem with finding this particular leaf that it wants out of the teva already, and it wants to go back to normal life where it's going to be fed directly by Hashem. So one thing is, in other words, that part of the question is because why Davka an olive leaf? For one thing, olive trees are not that tall. If you're going to find a tree that the bird perched on and then took a leaf from there, Bapashtus, it would be a much taller tree. So therefore, that's why the Gemara is understanding that it means that there was a message in it. Marsha goes on, by the way, and explains in some detail. This is similar to what we say in benching. Don't let us have to require matnas basal adam kim yadcham leya psucha shalenevish when he call him loylam vod. So this is to say the dove is giving the same message. My mashma dahai teref lishna de mizonihu. Where do we see that the word teref means food? Dichtiv hatrifeni lechem chuki. As we see that Shlomo asks Hashem, don't make me too poor, don't make me too rich, just give me to eat my lechem chuki, the bread that's been apportioned to me. And Marashal says that's why the Gemara is bringing that pasuk, actually, because again it expresses the very same idea that the dove is expressing to Noach and to Hashem that it wants to be fed from Hashem and not from Basav Adam. Next, at the end of the Mabul, it says, "L'mishpachis sehem yotzum min ateva." By their families, they went out of the teva. So, what does that mean? Now, one point is we said before that it meant that now they're allowed in tashmash amita again. But Amar Rav Yechanan, "L'mishpachosam v'loy heim," means their families, but not them. Now, what does that mean? There are several different explanations what that means. Rashi explains that it means that each one was by itself. They weren't all eating together. Each type of animal was placed separately in a separate compartment. So the Mishpachei Seyem, they went out by families. The Loihem, they didn't just go out individually. The Yad Ramah explains what it means is, yes, they went out, but they weren't heim, they weren't themselves, because they had gone through so much in the Teva, it was such a difficult year, that they weren't themselves anymore, so to speak, as the Gemara is going to go on to mention about the people also didn't have an easy time of it feeding all those animals. Then there are a few other explanations. Marsha says that it also means that it means that they, well, so first, actually, you have on a Gilya, and you have a footnote over here on the side of the Gemara that says like this. The Mabul lasted 12 months. Now, the Gemara elsewhere mentions that creatures that don't have bones can't live for 12 months. That comes up in Halacha, therefore, that if you, in certain cases, if you find bugs in fruit, then you don't have to worry about that they grew in it while it was on the tree, because it's dried fruit, and therefore it can't still be surviving from when it was on the tree, etc. So the question is, now, if the Mabul lasted 12 months, how are the flies and the worms and the other invertebrates like that living afterwards? And the answer would be that Lemishkhaisehem, their families, Veloihem, not the original flies or worms or whatever who went into the Teva, because they died during the year and now they had progeny in the Teva. Now, you have to ask, we said before, they're also in Tashmish Amita. So one possibility is Hashem could have made sure that when they go in, they just became pregnant, they just made it or whatever, their offspring are just starting to grow within them, and then that way they can be born at some point during in the Teva without violating that din. There is actually, the Rebbe points out that, given that the Medrash says that the mazolos, the sun and the moon and the planets and whatever, didn't function normally during the Mabul. There was even an opinion that because of that we don't count the years of the Mabul in the years since the creation of the world, although that's not the mainstream opinion. But anyway, there is such a concept. The Medrash says the mazolos didn't function. Well, therefore, anything that depends on that, such as the fact that such creatures can live for only 12 months, is also, that was suspended also, and therefore they could live, for longer. So you have several explanations of what this Mishpreseim Veloihem means. Maushal explains it means, yeah, that each one went out with his mishpacha. They didn't just go out individually. Now they all went out with their mishpachas in the sense that now they're able to have relations again. So the Gemara continues. Many years later, Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, met up with Shem Rabbah, Shem the Great. Now, we learned earlier in the Masechta the question of whether Shem was the eldest son or not. We said he may not have been. Chom and Yefes may have been older than him based on analysis of Sukkim. There are actually many different opinions about that. But anyway, but here we're calling him Rabbah the Great, whether because he was in fact the eldest, whether because he's the greatest and most important of them, or just because of the fact that by now he was several hundred years old and therefore he deserves the title the Great. Anyway, so Eliezer asks him, Ksiv, the pasuk says on Mishpreseim Yotzim and Ateva that they went out to the, they went out of the Teva by families in the various ways that we explain that. Now the Torah hadn't been given yet, of course, but nevertheless they still knew what it's going to say in the Torah. So he asks, after an Heichon Havison, how did you fare in the Teva? We're saying that the animals came out of there and they weren't themselves anymore, and we're saying that they came out individually and so on and so forth. So Marshall explained. Now again, so we have, if we say that Mishpreseim Veloihein means that they each one went out by themselves, that each one didn't go out by themselves, they went out by families, then Marshall says, now the continuation of that is, Eliezer asks Shem, well then tell me, you know, when it comes to going out of the Teva, it's still, even though it says that, even though Hashem told Noach to go out, you and your wife and your sons' wives, but they didn't in fact do that. In fact, what they did was, they went out, first Noach, then his sons, then his wife, then his sons' wives. So they still weren't together with their families. Well, why not? Why didn't you go out by families together with the rest of the Teva, together with the, like all the creatures from the Teva? By the way, Marsha points out, the Medrash tells us that Eliezer is Oig, and Oig actually survived the Teva, survived the Mabul, hanging on to the Teva. So now he's asking, so he actually saw them going out, or later on he saw it, he learned Torah from Abraham, and he's asking, why didn't you do that? So Shane tells him, Sa Godel, how you learn about Teva? Yeah, as a matter of fact, we had a tremendous amount of trouble on the Teva. Bria to Darkala Achila Bayoim, a creature that would eat by day, Hechal Noah Bayoim, we had to feed it by day. Shadarka Lachila Balaila, the creatures that normally eat at night, Hechal Noah Balaila, we had to feed them at night. So we're working around the clock. In fact, there's a couple of explanations in that connection. One thing is, because we see that the world before the Mabul was a world of Hamas and violence and robbery and all kinds of things, all kinds of problems, therefore Hashem wanted to dafka now that they're going to have a full year, 365 days straight, of pure chesed going and running around to take care of the animals around the clock, and that way the world can be rebuilt on a foundation of chesed and concern for the other, like that. There's also an explanation that that's why after the Mabul, the Eved people permitted people to eat meat, because now they took care of the animals. It's thanks to them that the animals survived, therefore like the animals owe them one. Shane continues, Hai Zikisa, so then this explains, in other words, he's saying why we didn't even go out with our families, because we had just gone through a year like that. We didn't have the head to go and deal with getting back to normal family life at this point. He continues, Hai Zikisa, the Zikis, which is a chameleon. Loi have a yoda abba ma achla, and my father Noach didn't know what it eats. Yoimachad have a yosef a kapoli rimoina. One day Noach was sitting and cutting open a pomegranate. Nofel telaitamina, a worm fell out of the pomegranate. Achla, and the zikis ate the worm. Ah, now Noach knows this creature eats worms. So from now on, what he would do is he would knead bran to make a type of mixture that eventually he could leave out and that would eventually develop worms. Ki makla, when eventually worms develop in it, ochla, then the zikis. So this way he had what to feed. This way he had worms to feed the zikis the rest of the year without having to take from the supply from the two worms that he had kept to keep the species alive. Okay. What about, continues Shame, Arya, what about the lion? Now lions are carnivorous. How did it live an entire year without eating meat? The answer is Ishsa Zinsei. The fire, it was sustained by having a fever. We know when a person is feverish, it doesn't want to eat. So the lion was the same kind of thing. So it was sustained by a fever, and basically it lived off its reserves of body fat and muscle. In many places, Siddus, by the way, it talks about the idea that the teva was like a foretaste of me'en olam haba, and then it says that the lion is going to live peacefully with the goza avim keves, for namarim v'yirbats, and all those sukim that talk about how the carnivorous animals will live peacefully with people and the domesticated animals and all that. So in that case, then the idea would be that in the Mabul, they didn't need that either. They could live off of food like the herbivorous animals. They could live off straw and leaves and things like that. But here the Gemara is saying that there was a period of time, at least, where the lion instead was sustained by the fact that it had a fever and therefore didn't have to eat at all. The Omer Rav, as in fact Rav says, Loi botze mishisa v'loi tfei mitzreisar, at least 6 days and not more than 12. Zina ishsa, a person can be sustained by a fever. In other words, a person can last between 6 and 12 days with a fever, not eating, because they live off their body's reserves. Now, 6 to 12 days is very nice, but the Mabul lasted a whole year. So in fact, the Yad Ramah asks on Rashi, then in that case, shouldn't we have to say that? I mean, 6 months or 12 months. And that's in fact how he explains. So therefore, fine, 12 months. So that covers the whole period of the Mabul. Strictly speaking, the Mabul is 12 months plus an extra 10 days, but fine, he says what it means is it can't be as much as 13 months, but it can be 12 months and change. I mean, Rashi actually does bring that explanation, but he says v'loy nehira, it doesn't, v'loy nehira li, Rashi says, it doesn't seem clear to me how we can explain that way. Maybe because Rashi is bothered by the fact that b'derech hateva, how can a person live, or any creature live for 12 months without eating? In any case, so there was a period of time there, maybe the entire Mabul, maybe only part of it, when the lion had a fever and therefore didn't even need to eat. In fact, the Torah Chaim brings an explanation based on that. You know, we know the famous thing that one day Noach, Rashi brings it on the Pasuk from the Medrash, that one day Noach was late in feeding the lion and it kicked him, and from then on he limped. Well, why was he late? The point is, because we're saying over here, there was a few days where it didn't eat. So now Noach didn't know that it's already ready to eat, and therefore he came late, and the lion gave him a kick. Next. Ushina. Then there was a creature called Ushina. In Lashon Kodesh, Rashi points out, it's called Choyl. It's often identified as a phoenix. As a phoenix, which is a bird that has a famous idea about it, that it lives forever, like it regenerates itself every 100 years or so, and then lives forever. Although the Yad Ramah says nothing lives forever, it just means that it lives longer than the other creatures. But anyway, Ashkine Ava, so Shane continues the story, my father found it, Degoni Besifna Tetevusa. It was hiding out in the. It was lying in its assigned place in the Teva. Sifna, Rashi says, Moloshim suffer in the place where it's supposed to stay hidden. Omalei, he asks this bird that Ushina, like Boris Mizone, don't you need food? Omalei, and the answer is, okay, how a bird's talking, like we said before, you know, it can mean that he detects from the way that it's acting what it would have said if it was capable of speech. Anyway, he says, Chazisach, to have a trida, I saw you were busy, Aminaloya Tsarach, and I figured, let me not bother you, you have enough else to keep you busy. Omalei, and Nayach says, Yehei Ravad, the Lord Tomus, may it be Hashem's will that you never die. In fact, we find that this bird, the Ushina, known in Lashon Kodesh as Choyl, lives forever, or according to the Adramah, very, very long. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Eiv says about himself, V'oimar, I said to myself, back in my good days, Imkini Egva, I will die with my nest, in other words, I'll still have all of my possessions, and all of my fame, and all the other good things, V'chachoyl arba yomim, and I will live as long as the Choyl. So we see that the Choyl lives longer than any other creature. Either that it never dies, or that just that it dies, that it lives much longer than any other. And the reason for that is because of this bracha that Noach gave it. Okay. Now that we said what Eliezer asked Shem, how did you guys fare in the Teva? And especially, you know, it's interesting with Marshall saying that based on the Medrash that Eliezer is none other than Oig Melech HaBoshan, in which case he stayed on the outside of the Teva. So the whole year he's staying outside of the Teva. He doesn't know what's going on inside. So now he's curious later on. So tell us. So tell me, how were things inside there during the whole year when I was sitting on the outside? Okay. So now we have the other way around. Now Shem has a question for Eliezer. Now, on the other hand, Shem the Great asked Eliezer, when the kings of the east and west came against you, namely by the war of the four kings against the five kings, So all of them were coming and fighting against you. After Nehechi Abdisu, how did you manage? How did you win that war? So Eliezer tells him, I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avraham. The first thing is Hashem took Avraham, and he had him sit on his right hand side, representing that Hashem is going to give him tremendous koyach l'mayla mitam v'das. So he put him by his right side. V'avashadinan Afra, and when we were fighting against the kings, we would throw dirt at them. V'havu charbi, and miraculously that dirt would turn into spears and swords. Gili, we would throw straw at them. V'havu giri, and a nest would happen, and they would turn into arrows. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Mizmer l'David, kapitel kuf yod of tilim. Mizmer l'David. Mizmer actually is how it says in the pasuk. Ne'um Hashem l'adoni. Hashem said to my master, and this is if you look in the caption of the Tillim in Oyel Yosef Yitzchak, you'll see that in fact this is Eliezer speaking the words of this capital. So Hashem said to my master, who was Eliezer's master, Avraham, shave li mini, sit by my right side, ad oshis oivecha adoim l'raglacha, until I place that your enemies will be a footstool under your feet, in other words, that they will, that you'll step on them, like a person steps on a footstool. Uchtim, so therefore, so we see that Hashem told Abraham, shave the mini, sit by my right side, and help them defeat his enemies. Uchtim, and you have another passage. Mi heir mi mizrach. Who is it that Hashem roused up from the east, referring to Abraham, who came from Babel, which is to the east of Eretz Yisrael? Tzedek yikra'ehu l'ragloi. Wherever he goes, there's tzedek, there's righteousness called out. One point is, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that Abraham's mazel was tzedek, the planet Jupiter, was in the Hebrew, it's called tzedek, and that was the mazel under which Avraham was born. So therefore, tzedek is called everywhere where Avraham goes. Yitin l'fon of goyim, Hashem gave over in front of him nations, u'melochim yard, and Hashem controlled, Hashem subjugated kings in front of him. Yitin ka'ofer charboi, Hashem made his sword be like dust, kakash nidav kashtoi, and Hashem made his bow be like wind-blown straw. So we see, in other words, that Hashem, that they were taking straw and dirt and throwing it at the enemies, and they were turning into spears and arrows. Actually, the way the pasuk phrases it makes it sound the other way around, like their spears and arrows turned into dirt and straw. And in fact, the Medrash brings an opinion that says just that. So Or Gemara means that it was actually both of them, that it was in both directions. That's the Pesach Enayim, the Chidah, explains it's meant actually in both directions. Avraham and Eliezer were throwing dirt at them, and it became spears. They were throwing spears, and it turned into dirt. So therefore, so it's both things. Mao Shop points out, especially, you know, we have that we learned to, the Gemara mentions elsewhere that really, even though the Pasuk says Abraham had 318 people with him, and even that would be tiny compared to the huge armies, but here you have, here there's an opinion that it was only Eliezer, because Eliezer is lacking 318, so how did you manage? And the answer is that it was Bederach Nes, that Hashem, and so Maharsha explains, putting Avraham to his right side represents that you have Malachim standing, so to speak, on the right hand of Hashem, the Malachim that are created by a person's chosim. So Hashem is giving those Malachim over to Avraham to help him with that. Okay, so in this connection, the Gemara tells of how you have the same kind of thing happen many years later, also with the straw and dirt becoming spears and arrows. The famous story, Nochum Ish Gamzu, have a rogel, he was accustomed to call the have a salkalei, whatever happened to him, Oma Gamzu L'Toyva, he would say Gamzu L'Toyva, this is also for good, and that is in fact why he was called Nochum Ish Gamzu. There is actually an explanation. There is a pasuk in Divrei Yomim that refers to a place in Eretz Yisrael called Gimzai. So the Orach explains that was his original name. It was called Nochum Ish Gimzai because he came from that town. But then they renamed it. They re-spelled it as Gamzu because of his expression of Gamzu L'Toyva. Anyway, Yom Echad Bo Yisrael Shaduri Dorim L'Kaiser. One time, the Jewish people needed to send a present to the emperor because there was a Gzeira brewing, and they need him to send the Kaiser a bribe to get that canceled. Amri, so they said, Bahadi man Nishtar, who should we send this present with? And they decided, Nishtar, Bahadi Nochum Ish Gamzu, we'll send it with Nochum Ish Gamzu to Malumad bin Nissim, because he's accustomed to having Nissim happen for him, and therefore we need, if it's not just Gamila, he has to give them the bribe, that he has to be Mevatel the Gzera, and for that you need Siyata Dishmaya. Kimotalahu Diyuda, when he came to a certain inn, Bala Mevas, he wanted to stay there overnight. Amrile my ikabadoch, the people in the inn ask him, what do you have with you? Amalahu, he tells them, come with me on the Kyogel Kaiser, I'm going and bringing taxes and tribute to the Kaiser. Belilia, that night, Sharinu Lasifte, they opened up the Komu Belilia, they woke up, they got up in the middle of the night, Sharinu Lasifte, they opened up the box, the chest, the Shoklu called the Habagabe, they took out everything that was inside it, or Milano Afra, and they filled it with dirt. When Nochum Ish Gamzu came to there, to the palace, Ishtakach Afra, it turned out that there was dust in there. Now, so the gifts that we have in front of us actually is that he only discovered the switch when they opened it up in the throne room.
But in Danny, just in same thing.
So you have like this. So this is the Gersa that we have in front of us. And in fact, this story is also in Masechta. Tainis. And then the Shagas Arya in his Sefer of Chidushim, their Gvura Savi, points out it has to be that way because what? He's going to go there knowing that there's dirt in there. Ain't Sen Kanamanes. On the other hand, as a matter of fact, the Yad Ramah actually does have the Gersa over here. He has a different Gersa in Or Gemara that he realized it right away. And still he continued going on and saying, Gamzu L'Toyva will take you, Hashem will work things out. So Ishtakach Afra, it turned out the thing had dirt in it. Omar, so the emperor says, Achuchi komachaychi biyudoi, the Jews are mocking me. Apkula Mikdalei, they took him out, they were taking Nochum Ish Gamzu and they were going to execute him. Omar, and still he says, Gamzu L'Toyva. Also Eliyahu, the Idmele Lahuka Chadminahu, Eliyahu came and made an appearance as though he was one of them, as though he was a Roman senator or a nobleman or what have you. Omalahu, he tells them, Dilma Hai Afra Me Afra Da Avram Avinuhu. Maybe this dust is actually the same dust as Avram Avinuhu. What Avinu doesn't really belong over here because, okay, he's talking as a Roman. Maybe it's from the dust of Avraham. Who? To have a Shoddy Afra, where, as we said, he was throwing dirt, Havu Harbi, and it became swords and spears. Gili, and he was throwing straw, Havu Giri, and it became arrows. So maybe it's the same thing. Maybe it's not Sam dirt. Boduk, they tried it. Vashkochu, Hochi have Vashkochu, and they found that sure enough it works. Vashkochu, Hochi have a Vashkochu, Hochi, and they found it's exactly like that. Well, have a Mechuzid, or have a Yochli, or a Michvashay. Now there was a certain territory that at that point the Romans were trying to conquer and they weren't getting anywhere with conquering it. Shodumahu Afrale, they took some of that dirt and threw it, the Kapshua, and sure enough they were able to conquer it because in fact it did turn into spears and arrows and so forth. Ailu Lebeg Noza. So now, in gratitude, they took Nochum, they brought Nochum Ishgamzu into the king's, into the emperor's treasury, Omru, and they, Amri, and they said, Shvil de Michaloch, take whatever you want. Malia the Sifta Dava, so he filled up the chest with gold. And now what he can do is, so now he can bring back the gold. Here you have, they'd had to collect all that gold and everything for the tribute from the Jews. Now he can bring them back, a chest of gold, and reimburse them for everything they had to lay out for it. Ki Hodor Osa, when he comes back and he stays in the same inn again, Bechlal, Rashi mentions based on a medrash in Parshas Lech Lecha that a person, Lo Ilama Yishana Odomech, San Yishaloi, a person should never change the place where he stays, even though here they treated him like that, nevertheless he's still going to stay there again. Omer Le Hanoch Diyuri, the people of the inn asked him, My Amtis Lebe Malka, what you bring to the king's palace. Omer, he tells him, he like plays dumb. My shakling hocha, I'm toila hosam. Whatever it is that I took from here, I brought to there. But in other words, but he tells them, so he doesn't openly go and accuse them that you're the ones who put the dirt in, but he says that he explains to them that this is how it worked out, that Hashem that Hashem made it turn into spears and so forth. So they thought this is magic dirt. Shakli Inhu, they took some of that dirt, Amtu Lahosam, they brought it to the emperor, so you should try it also. But it turned out to just be regular dirt for Katlinu, Lahanach de Yuri, so they executed those people from the inn for making fun of the emperor. So it wasn't that the dirt itself has magic, it was just Nochum Ishgamzu's chus that caused it to turn. So the same way with Avraham Avinu. Okay. So that's that as far as the marble now. Now, the Mishnah had also told us that the Dur HaFloga also does not have the people of the Tower of Babel, also do not have a Chelik Lelam Abba. So let's talk about them a little bit. So the Gemara says, Dur HaFloga and Chelik Lelam Abba. My Ovud, what did they do wrong? I mean, Sahakal, they built a tower, they were building a city, etc. The Pasuk doesn't really make clear what exactly they did wrong. Unlike Rashi points out by the Dur HaMabel, it openly says they were doing Chomos, and they were doing Hashchasa, which we said was Avodah Zarah and Arayas, and so forth. By the Tower of Babel, it doesn't really say explicitly in the Pesukim what the problem is. And in fact, there were an enormous number of explanations among, first of all, Gemara is going to give you a few of them, Medroshim give more, Meforshim on the Pasuk give even more. There's a lot of discussion what exactly they were doing wrong. Really, actually, on a very basic pshat level, actually, the Eben Ezra says that what they were doing wrong is they're trying to settle only one place in the world, whereas Hashem wants that people should spread out over the whole world. But in any case, that's not a reason for them to lose their chelik lelam haba. So the Gemara is looking for what exactly they did so bad that makes them lose their chelik lelam haba. So Amri Dvei Rav Shila, they said in the yeshiva of Rav Shila, they said, Nivna Migdol, let's build a tower, V'nala L'Rakia, we'll go up to the heavens, V'naka Oitze B'Kardumos, and we'll hit the sky with axes, Kadesh Yazuhu Meimav, so that water will flow down from it. In other words, they're claiming, we don't need Hashem to give us, we don't need Hashem to give us rain or anything. We can get them for ourselves, we can get rain and everything else for ourselves, and therefore we don't need Hashem. So they're openly going and rebelling against Hashem. However, they laughed at that in Eretz Yisrael on this explanation. Imkain, Livnu Echad Batura. In that case, why are they building this tower in the valley over there? Vayimtsu Bika, the Pasuk says they found a valley in the land of Shinar, which is Babel, and they built it over there. Why would they build, if the whole point is to reach the sky, then they should be building it in a high place as much as possible.
Did they make fun of them about the whole concept?
What do you mean, man? No, because apparently there is a certain validity to it. Fine, you know, I mean, let's put it this way. We're, obviously, you know, the sky, you know, at least the way we understand it now, the sky is not a solid thing that you can hit with axes. But fine, we can say, in other words, that the Gemara is putting it in terms that would have been understandable to people in the time of the Gemara. But from our point of view, it would mean that they're going to do something, they're going to seed the clouds, or they're going to whatever, and force it to rain. But the point is, in other words, that the point is that they're acting in a way as if to say that that we don't need Hashem. There is, in fact, actually an interesting explanation from the Yaris Dvash, from Rabbi Yonis and Ibershitz, who says they were trying to build a spaceship. Mm. He learns that the Tower of Babel was a spaceship. Anyway, so... So Ella Amar Rav Yumi Bar Elazar. So rather, Rav Yumi Bar Elazar says that no. Now the Ella is in parenthesis over here, and there are in fact different gusis whether we should have it or not. If we say the word Ella, then it means yes, the Gemara has rejected the previous opinion, and it means that we're going to say there were other reasons why they built it, not Rav Shila's reason. If we take out the word Ella, then it means we're still accepting Rav Shila's reason. However, there are other factors, there are other motivations that they had as well, which besides for Rav Shila's. So Omer Rav Yumi Bar Elazar Nechaku L'Sholosh Kikis. They in fact they were divided into three different groups. There were three different groups that had different ideas what they're going to use this tower for. One says we're going to go up to the top of this tower and we're going to stay there, and that way we'll be safe in case Hashem brings a mabul in the future. So they're claiming as though, in other words, they're acting as though Hashem doesn't have the ability to get us if we're high up there. So they have a particular reason why they want to be there, why they want to be in. So in other words, according to that, so yes, if we say with the word Ella, then the Gemara is saying fine, you don't need to go all the way up to the Rakia. They just want to be in a high place so that they'll be safe from a potential future mabul and for other reasons. The Medrash, by the way, also mentions the famous thing that they said, that one, the Gemara doesn't bring it over here, but the Medrash mentions that they said once the mabul was a natural phenomenon, once every 1656 years the sky collapses and therefore we need to put up towers in order to hold it up. So the idea is, in other words, however we learn it, the point is that they're doing it in a way where they're acting as though we don't need to have any allegiance to Hashem. We can do whatever we want, and Hashem can't get us. So that was the first group. But Achas Emeres, one says Nala the Navad Avodis Kachovim. The second one says let's go up there and worship Avodah Zarah. But Achas Emeres, and the third group says Nala v'Nasa Mochama, we'll go up there and fight with Hashem. Zushai meres nala v'neishiv sham. So now each group was punished midah k'neged midah. Zushai meres nala v'neishiv sham. The ones who said we're going to go up there and we're going to live there. So instead of being able to live there, hafitzim Hashem, apnei Hashem, hafitzim Hashem, Hashem scattered them and they dispersed over the whole world. V'zushai meres nala v'nasa mochama. The group that said let's go up and fight against Hashem, nasu koyfim v'ruchas v'shedim. They were turned into monkeys and disembodied spirits and shedim. So that was, in other words, so their punishment was they thought that they wanted to worship Avodah Zarah. They wanted to replace Hashem with something else. So instead, now they themselves are being replaced with their human bodies. They're becoming monkeys and other creatures of that sort. The group that said, let's go up there and worship Avodah Zarah. So the result was, Kisham Balal Hashem, Sfas Kol Ha'aretz, as the Pasuk says, Hashem mixed up all their languages, and so now they couldn't understand each other. So now in particular, it means that now they can't, now none of them can convince the others to worship Avodah Zarah. Again, there are many, many explanations of what it is. Here we have alone in the Gemara, we have three or four different opinions what they did wrong. And like I said, Mephoshim have many others. The Be'er Sheva over here on our Gemara explains a very interesting point. When the Torah tells us what someone did wrong or what people did wrong, it's that we should learn a lesson from them and not ever do the same thing again. Well, here by the Tower of Babel, all of them had the same language and they were all together in one place. Therefore, they were able to make like a one world government like that and be able to convince everybody to go along with what they want. But that you never have such a thing again. You never have the capability in human history again, which is why the Torah doesn't need to explicitly state about it, because it's not something that we can learn from them anyway to never do again. Within that idea that we're saying that they wanted a one world government and everybody has to be controlled by them. That's actually Rav Hirsch in particular, Rav Shamshon Nefal Hirsch, has a long explanation on the Psukim that's exactly it. Like this, if they have something like that, if they have a government that dominates everybody and nobody can get away from it, then it means, for example, a tzaddik like Avraham is never going to have a chance. No tzaddikim, no Jewish people are ever going to have a chance. Therefore, Hashem had to scatter them and disperse them into different peoples and different languages and all, and that way that makes room for people to be able to influence the world and not to be crushed by that one government that rules over everything. The Gemara continues. Tanya Rav Nosanam, Kulam L'Shem Avodas Kachavim Miskavnu. All of them actually had in mind Avodah Zarah. In other words, even we're going to say, like we said, there were three groups, but all of them had really primarily Avodah Zarah in mind. We see that because Ksiv Hacha Benasel on Hashem, they say for themselves, let's make for ourselves a name. We have the name of other gods. Don't mention Malahalan. Avodas Kachavim, Afkan Avodas Kachavim. Someone is saying Benasel on Hashem. It means they want to make a name of Avodah Zarah for themselves. Okay, what happened to the tower? Rabbi Yechanan, Migdol. Shlish Nisraf, one third of the tower was burned, or Shlish Nivla, one third was swallowed up into the ground, or Shlish Kayim, and one third of it still exists above ground. Shlish Kayim, yeah. So there's different explanations of what that represents. It means, among others, it means here we said there were three different groups of people who had different motivations of what they want to do with the tower. So therefore, the idea is of those things, two of them no longer exist. They're burnt and swallowed up into the ground. There's no ability to do those things anymore. But the third group, one third of them, for actually, Maharsha says, the ones who said we want to fight against Hashem, their part of the tower was burnt. The ones who said, let's worship over the Zohar, that was swallowed up into the ground. And the ones who said, let's live there so there won't be a Mabul again, that one still exists. But there's also the idea, there's an explanation along the lines of that within those three things, some of those possibilities still exist nowadays. It's still possible to do some of those things nowadays, and therefore, in that sense, that still exists. Whereas, for example, the idea of living in one place to be saved from a Mabul, that doesn't exist anymore. Everybody lives now all over the world. Okay. So the Gemara says, Amar of Yosef, Bavel, Ubursif, the places in within the country of Bavel itself, you have the city of Bavel, just like you have the city in the state of New York, you have the country and the city of Bavel. So the place within Bavel called Bavel, Ubursif, and another place nearby called Bursif, Simen Ra La Torah, those places are a bad simen for the Torah. Because those are the places, that was the area where the Tower of Bavel was built. And even now, when you're living in those areas, you're living like in the airspace, in the shadow of the tower. And therefore, that has a bad effect. In fact, the Gemara says, my Bursif, so why is that place called Bursif? Amar Rav Asi, Bur Shofi. It means a pit that's been emptied of its water. Shofi, Rashi explains, it comes from a word in Hebrew and in Aramaic that means to draw off, to pour off and draw off liquid from one keli to another. So Bavel, in other words, is because Hashem mixed up their languages, and therefore, Rashi says, so now, in the future, people live there, and they get mixed up, and they don't know how to learn Torah properly. As far as Bursif, we're saying that it was so-called because from the word Bursofi, an emptied pit, meaning in other words that people who live over there are empty of Torah, and they forget it, and they forget it easily. So as far as this point about the three parts of the tower, Ben Yehoyada has several different explanations of it. One of them that says we know that there were three partners in creating a person: Hashem, his father, his mother, and Hashem. So the part that comes from their father and mother, those parts were burnt or swallowed up into the ground. The part that represents Hashem's contribution to their existence that still continues to exist. And those people over the generations, they have Gilgulim, the Neshamas, and this Galgal in later and later generations, and gradually they get fixed up that way.
Here he brings that one third was remained because those people were misguided but not wicked.
Okay, that's another explanation. Good. Okay. Next, so that takes care of the Tower of Babel. Next, we said in the Mishnah, Anshei Sdoim Enlam Chelek Olam Haba, the people of Sdoim have no place in Olam Haba. So let's learn about that. Tanan Abanan, Anshei Sdoim Enlam Chelek Olam Haba. Shenema, the pasuk says, as we learned in the Mishnah, VaAnshei Sdoim Roim VaChatoim LaHashem Ma'od. The people of Sdoim were very evil and very sinful to Hashem. So the double expression, Roim VaOlam Hazeh VaChatoim LaOlam Haba. So they were sinful and evil in this world, and they also are missing Olam Haba. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda gives a different drasha. Royin begufan, when it says they were evil, means that they did averus of znus with their bodies. V'chatoyim, and when it says they were sinful, means b'mamonam, that they were stingy and they did averus with their body, with their money. Why? Royin begufan dechtiv, as we find that Yosef says to Potiphar's wife, Ve'ech esa ha-ro ha-gdoyla ha-zois, how could I do this great evil for Chotosi le-le-kim, and I would sin against Hashem? So we see that ro refers to znus. Now, of course, you have in the pasuk Chotosi as well, but Maharsha explains, the point is, once we're going to use chatoyim for something else, as going to bring a different pasuk. So therefore, by elimination, royim must be for znus. V'chatoyim b'mamoinim, and we're saying the sinful means with their money. And we find that because the word chatoyim refers to money. The pasuk says a person who refuses to lend money to somebody else before shemitah or to give tzedakah. The pasuk says there'll be a sin in you. So we see, that the word chet, the word chatoyim, means sins, means that they acted badly with their money. And Rabbi Yehuda continues, the pasuk says, royim v'chatoyim la'Hashem. So he says, la'Hashem zu birkas Hashem, means that also they were blaspheming and cursing Hashem. And when it says ma'oid, very much, miskavnim v'chotim, means they were deliberately sinning. They were the classic example of Yedeas, Yubonim, miskavnim limud bo'edei. They know what Hashem is, and they're rebelling against him deliberately anyway. Okay. The Masnissatana, in a Braisa, we learn a little bit different. The Braisa flips around a few of these things and explains some of them differently. Royim b'mamoinim v'chatoyim b'gufon. First of all, the opposite of Rabbi Yehuda, who said that royim meant with their guf and chatoyim meant with their money. So now the Braisa says the other way around. Royim means with their money and chatoyim with their bodies with committing znus. Royim b'mamoinim, and we see that dichtiv, because again, the pasuk that before we were talking about failure to give tzedakah or to lend money, v'ro'ein chabachicha ha'evian, your eye will be evil against your fellow yid who's poor. So we see that ra means mammon, v'chatoyin begofon, dichtiv, v'chatosi le'lekin, because we see that Yosef said to Potiphar's wife, I would sin against Hashem. Again, it does say ra in the pasuk as well, but since now we're using ra for something else, then it means that only chatosi refers to znus. Then the Braisa continues, la'Hashem zurbekas Hashem. Like Rabbi Yehuda said, la'Hashem means that they were also blaspheming Hashem. Ma'oid, now Rabbi Yehuda had said ma'oid means miskavnim mechotim, they were sinning deliberately. The Braisa explains differently, ma'oid zu shfichas damim. The ma'oid means that they were also spilling blood, they were killing. Shenema, gam dam noki shofach menashe b'yushalayim, it doesn't say b'yushalayim in the pasuk, but whatever. Ha'ubi ma'oid v'gomer, it says that Menashe spilled a lot of innocent blood in Yerushalayim, which we learned a few dafim ago, two possibilities. One is that it means that he killed Yeshaya, and the other is it means that he built a huge avodah zarah, and every day people would carry it, and they would die from the effort. Either way, we see that the pasuk uses the word ma'oid over there. So therefore, when it says over here about the people of Sodom that they were very sinful, ma'oid, they were very sinful to Hashem, then it means that they were killing people. The Gemara says, "Tanan Abanan, Anshe Sodom Lomis Go Elavishvul Toiv Sheishpiya Lahem Hakadosh Baruch Hu." The people of Sodom were proud only because of the tremendous goodness that Hashem gave them. Now, actually, so you have like this: the pasuk, you know, the Goyish world usually thinks that the major problem with Sodom is the Znus, the Mishkav Zohar over there. You have, in fact, in English, the word sodomy comes from that. But by us, we say Yechezkel already. The Novi Yechezkel already talks about. He says the Avera of Sodom was going Sivas Lachem. They were too proud because they had a tremendous plenty of bread. They had a tremendous plentifulness of bread and v'yad oni ve'evyon le'chzika, and they didn't support the poor and the needy. So we're saying that their basic problem was not so much the Mishkav Zohar as that was a factor as well, but the main thing was that they were stingy and mean towards the poor, as the Gemara is going to go talk about in detail over here, and that in turn was caused by a sense of gaiva that we don't need them. So what caused their gaiva is because they had tremendous goodness. Or maksiv b'hem, what psukim express the kind of tremendous goodness and wealth that Sodom had, the Sodom and its sister cities. So the pasuk describes in Eov as follows: Eretz mimeno yetzei lochem, a land from which bread came out, plenty of grain to make bread, v'sachteha nefach k'may esh, but then instead of that, it was turned over in fire, because that's what happened afterwards. Sodom was overturned and became a fiery area. The pasuk continues how it was before it was destroyed. Mekoyim sapir avoneha, its place was where the stones were sapphire, v'afres zahav loy, and where there's gold dust over there. Nosiv lo yedoi oyit. It was a path that the oyit, which is a vulture or some other kind of bird of prey, and does not know it. Velo shazafatu ein aya, and the eye of the aya, which is another bird of prey, has not noticed it. Which means, in other words, they were immune to dangers from predatory birds and animals and things like that. The children of Shochatz, which we learned earlier in the Perek, that Shochatz is one of the names in Lashon Kodesh for a lion, never stepped foot in there. Le'odr Olav Shochal. No Shochal, which is another name for a lion, ever came there. So in other words, they were a very rich place. They had plenty. There was a very fertile place and a place with lots of natural resources, including gold and precious stones, and a place where they were safe from wild animals. So they said to themselves, given that our land is a land from which bread comes forth, and we have plenty of bread and plenty of Afris Zavlai, and we have gold dust, so we have everything that we could possibly want, and we're not being harmed by wild animals. What do we need wayfarers for? That people who come and travel through, all they're going to come and do is take away some of our money from us. They take the view that poor people are just takers and we don't get anything from them, and why should we bother? They don't realize, by the way, you know, the Medrash says that even more than the rich person does for the poor person does even more for the rich person by giving him schosim, but they didn't believe in that whole concept. So they said, come and let's make it be forgotten, the concept of passing through our land. In other words, let's prevent people from passing through our land. Shenema, as you have, the pasuk before, here the Gemara has quoted the pasukim, Eretz Mimena Yetzer Lochem, the pasuk before that says, Parat Nachal Me'imgor, a stream has burst forth from the place where it was flowing. And that refers to the fire. That refers to the stream of fire and sulfur that Hashem rained down on them when it was time to destroy them. So to speak, you have like a current of fire like that all the time in Shemayim. And now Hashem brought some of it down and then caused it to like overflow its banks and fall down on them. Hanishkochen mini ragel, who are forgotten from the concept of the foot, meaning these people of Sodom who wanted to make forgotten the whole concept that wayfarers and travelers should come through their land. Dalu me'enesh no, they became poor and they became deprived from among people, meaning they were deprived of all their riches and of their lives. No. And they were made to wander away in the sense that now everybody uses them as everybody even know Rashi says the Deroin, from now on everybody uses them as a sign, like your people want to curse one another, you should become like the people of Sodom. So we see that the pasuk is describing why did that happen? Why did this river of fire and sulfur fall down on them? Hanishkocha mini rogo, because they were trying to forget. They're trying to make forgotten the whole concept of people passing through and being treated like the way a guest should be treated.
Some people say that that's
Midas. So when it says in Pirkei Avos, yeah, Shalish, Shalim, Shalach, Shalach, Zumi Debenis, V'yashemim, Zumi Das Sodom, right. So
it's like normal.
That's right.
But it looks like it's not okay.
Well, so that's the thing. So in Mishnah, when it says over there, Shalish, Shalim, Shalach, Shalach, doesn't mean, it doesn't necessarily that we're saying that I'm not going to give you anything. It means most of the time, you know, I have mine, you have yours. So that's Midas Benenis, so that's a decent thing. V'yashemim, Zumi Das Sodom, but others say that can lead to Midas Sodom, that can lead, taken to extremes, that leads to this kind of midyar of Sodom, yeah. So the Gemara continues, Dorash Rava, my dichtiv, Pasuk says in Tehillim, ad onor tahoisesu alish, how long are you going to go and then you're going to try to find different kinds of tricky ways to harm people? Tahoisesu is Malashin Havois, which means, which in Malashin Kodesh means disaster and breakage and whatever. So how long are you going to treat people that way? Terotzchu kolchem, you will all murder. Kekir notu, it can also mean you will all be murdered as punishment for the way you're acting. Kekir notu, like a leaning wall, goder hadechoya, like a fence that's about to be pushed over. So that means this pasuk is referring to the people of Sodom. In context, actually, it's talking about the Rishayim of David's times, but the Gemara's understanding, malamad shahoyim noisin enayim b'balim moment, it means that people were putting their eyes against people who have a lot of money, and they want to kill them so they can take this money. Umeshivin oitze, it's a kiu notri, they would have him sit in a place where there was a leaning, rickety wall, and they would push down the wall on him and kill him, and then they would come and take his wealth. The pashas were talking about, we could be talking about wayfarers, we could be talking about even people from their own towns. Dorash Rava, Rava gives another Dorasha, my dichtiv, another pasuk from Eov, choser b'choshech batim, they tunnel into houses in the dark, yoimam chitmu lamoi, by day, they seal it up for them. Lo yro'u, or yodu, actually, it says in the pasuk, or they don't know the light. So what is this talking about? If they're tunneling into the houses by night, then what is the daytime? What is not known by night? So as far as this thing with the wall falling down, Maharshal explains this was part of their dishonesty. They would claim that it was his fault that the wall was knocked down. So they would say, you caused the wall to fall down, therefore you or your heirs have to pay for it, and they would use that as a legalized excuse to take his money. And they would also pretend as though it was a perfectly good wall rather than a rickety wall which would be worth very little. So the pasuk says, "Chosav achoshech batim." They tunnel into houses at night. Yomim chitmu lamay. They seal up for them by day. Lo yodu or they don't know the light. So what does that mean? Malamet shayin noisim my name abali mamon. The people of Sodom would pay attention again to people who have a lot of money to try to get their money away from them. Again, we can mean people who are passing through. So actually, Ben Yoyada says, yeah, in this and Bepashtos with the other ones as well, we're not necessarily talking about people from the town itself. They don't want to dissuade rich people from living in their city. They mean people who are passing through who have a lot of money. So what they would do is, they would pay attention to people who have money. They would ask him to hold for them as a safe deposit a farsimon, which is a very fragrant oil, but it would be sealed up. The rich people wouldn't think there was anything wrong. They would put it in their storehouses because it's fine, it's something expensive, and they didn't realize that the aroma of it will be detectable. So that's Yomim Chitmu Lomim. By day, the tricksters would seal up the container of a Chausimon, and that's Lo Yodu Ur, so as if it doesn't know the light, it's completely sealed up. So La Erev, then in the evening, Boyin Umrichen Oisik Akelev, the people who had put the Afarasimon for the safekeeping, they would come and sniff it out like a dog. A dog has a much stronger sense of smell than people, so they would train themselves basically to have a much stronger sense of smell, so that even though the Balabas, by who they deposited, didn't know that it has this fragrance, they would be able to detect the fragrance. And now they know where the rich man has his money hidden, and then they would go in, and then they would go tunnel in there, and then seal. Shenemar, as we find a pasuk, Yashuvu la'erev, they come back in the evening, Yemu hakolev, they howl like a dog, V'yisoyevu ear, and they surround the city. So therefore, so we see that sometimes Rishoyim, the way they act is compared to a dog. So here, they would use like a dog-like instinct to find where the Afarasimon was hidden. Then they would come and dig over there with note the necessary moment, and then they would take the money from the storehouse. Maharshal points out that actually this pasuk that we just quoted is from Iyav Perek Chof Dalad. Now we've learned before in connection with the Dirt HaMabel, we learned psukim from that perek that the psukim in that perek are primarily talking about the Dirt HaMabel. So why all of a sudden are we taking a pasuk from it and using it about the people of Sodom? So he says that the Gemara is taking one or two psukim out of it and several psukim out of it actually and using it in context to the people of Sodom, and the Gemara is going to go on. He explains the Gemara is now going to quote several more psukim, and the Gemara is not going to we're going to have the Gemara is going to quote several psukim from Perek Chof Dalet and Perek Chof Alef. The Gemara is not going to actually say what we doubtion from them, but Maharshal says we're going to learn from them. We are going to talk about as we go through on Omud, at the bottom of the Omud and on Omud Beis, we're going to see that those have to do with those psukim. So yes, even though primarily it's Perek Chof Ches there that talks about the fate of Sodom, the beginning of Perek Chof Ches that talks about the fate of Sodom, but in fact there are psukim in the other parakim over there where he's also talking about why it is that the Rishoyim have it good, even though those psukim are primarily talking about the Dirt HaMabel, but some of them talk about the people of Sodom as well. In Chassidus, we have that both the Dirt HaMabel and the people of Sodom are all from Olam HaTohu, so there is a certain connection between them, so therefore it's we can mix and match. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara brings several psukim. Oroim Hilchu, or Yolinu, Midli Lavush. They walked naked without clothing, the ink sus bakara, and there was nothing for them to cover themselves with in the cold. Another pasuk, chamur yisaimim yinhogu, they would lead away the donkeys that belong to yisaimim, yachbalu shur amana, they would take as a pledge a shur that belongs to a widow. Another pasuk, gvulis yasigu, the Gemara is quoting the psukim out of order, they're in gvulis yasigu. They would take over other people's boundaries. They would move boundary markers to take over land for themselves. Eidu gozlu vayiru, they would steal herds of animals and pasture them. And another pasuk, v'hu l'kvaris yovel, he is brought to the grave, v'al godish yishkod, and he stays by the godish, by the heap of grain. So now, the Gemara is not bringing drushas over here on these psukim. In Yalkut Shimoni, it brings a drosha for each one of them, how it refers to the people of Sodom. Marashar explains, after the Gemara is going to go back a moment to this moment, to this matter of the Afar Simon, in fact, Agoris Agura takes these psukim and puts them after that, because first let's finish with that matter of the Afar Simon, and a side story the Gemara is going to tell over it, and then we can talk about other things that the people of Sodom did. In any case, Marashar says, these four psukim that the Gemara just quoted, the Gemara is going to bring further on four different stories, each of them illustrating something from one of those psukim. So the Gemara says, Dorash Rabbi Yossi b'Tzipori. Rabbi Yossi one time darshan in Tzipori the story about the people of Sodom and the Afar Simon and how they would tunnel into the and how they would be able to detect the smell and so forth. Ichter in Ahileu Yatzlasne Machtar to b'Tzipori. That night in the city of Tzipori, there were 300 tunnels dug. The Ganovim were having a field day that day, and they were going and digging into people's treasuries. Because they did the same, they used the same kind of scam. Also become a Tzari Lay. So now the rich people of Tzipori are coming and harassing Rabbi Yossi. You gave the Ganovim a great new idea, and now they took advantage of it. Omrulay, they told him, Yahavas Urchi the Ganvi. You've told now a method for the Ganovim that they can use. Omrulahu, Rabbi Yossi says, Me have a Yadina to also Ganvi. How could I possibly know that Ganovim are going to come and take advantage of that? So I didn't know. Another Girsa is the Atun Ganvi. I didn't know that here in the city of Tzipori, there are so many Ganovim. The Gemara, in fact, elsewhere mentions the Gemara in Baba Basra, where it talks about various tricky and sharp practices that certain kind of merchants would use to trick their customers, and they have implications as far as the halachas of Tumah V'Tahara, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai says, woe to me if I say, woe to me if I don't, because if I don't say it, then people are going to think the Chachamim are not wise to what the Ganovim do. And if I do say it, then the Ganovim are going to get themselves new ideas. So the Gemara says about it. In the end, he did say it, and it is in a Mishnah in Kalim, and he says, Yishorim Darchei Hashem, the ways of Hashem are straight. Good people, Yishorim, Tzadikim Yochubam, Tzadikim follow in the ways of Hashem, and use this information in the right way, of Poshim Yikoshulbam, and the Poshim, the wicked, use it in the wrong way, and basically that's not my problem. So the same way Rabbi Yossi is saying over here, you know, I'm telling you a thing in Torah, if people are going to take advantage of it, I didn't know they're going to. And the Gemara tells, Tikon noch nafshi de Rabbi Yossi, when Rabbi Yossi passed away, Shafi Marzivid de Tzipori Dama, the gutters, the rain gutters of Tzipori, were running with blood. Instead of water coming out of them, blood was coming out of them. Which Rashi says, that means two things. It means that he was an Adam Gadol, it means he was a great Talmud Chacham. Since we mentioned that he gave this Zerusha in Tzipori, then therefore the Gemara also mentions what happened in Tzipori, that was where he lived, in Tzipori, and that's where he passed away. That tells us that he was from Tzipori. Another point as well is also, An interesting idea is that it means that even though he lived in Tzipori, he was on such a high level that he didn't know, he was such a tzaddik and a chosid himself that he didn't know that in the city there were so many ganovim. The Gemara says, Amri, here's some more laws of the people of Sodom. They used to say like this, the Isfei Chad Torah, anyone who has one ox, Mari Chad Yomer, he has to graze everybody's oxen for one day. De Lesle, anybody who does not have an ox of his own, Lira Treyomi, he has to graze, everybody has to pasture everybody's oxen for 2 days. So their excuse was basically that their excuse was that if he doesn't have oxen, then he can take care of everybody else's oxen for a longer amount of time. But really, actually, the Yad Ramah points out the fair thing would be the other way around. The fair thing would be if you have one ox, then it's easier for you to take care. As long as you're taking care of your ox, then by all means, take care of other people's oxen as well. If you don't have an ox and you're therefore doing other things instead with your day, then why should you be wasting time taking care of everybody else's oxen? But that was their crooked kind of legalistic logic. Marsha points out this again. We had four psukim that the Gemara brought without giving a drosha what that has to do. So So Marashah explains, you were going to have a story involving a Yosin, the son of an Almana, and mentioning what happens with the Shur, and therefore, so here we have, this fits with that Pasuk, Hamo Yosemim Yinhogu Yachbalu Shur Almana, that we see that they were taking away, and that they were taking away people, Almanas and Yosemim's animals, and here we have an example of that. So the Gemara tells, Hahu Yasma Bar Almalta, there was an orphan whose mother was a widow. So in other words, it was an orphan only from his father, not his mother. Hovele Torah the Mire. So they gave him the oxen to graze, and he didn't have, and it had to be for 2 days because he doesn't have any oxen of his own. Marashah says, in fact, what the fact that we had the pasuk before Yachbalu Shor Almana implies that previously they had used some kind of twisted legal reasoning to take away her shur. So now her son doesn't have a shur. So now they're saying, well, in that case, then you have to graze the oxen for 2 days. Also Shaklinu, this boy was smart, also Shaklinu v'katlinu, he went and took the oxen and killed them. Amalahu, he tells them, here's how we're going to divide things. The Yisrei Torah, anybody who owned up until now one ox, Nishko Chad Mashka, we'll take one skin, the skin of the animal, of his animal. The Lesley Torah, anybody who did not until now own an ox, Nishko Trey Mashki, he gets 2 skins. Omrulay, they said to him, my high, what kind of logic is that? Omrulay tells them, you know what, if you're going to use twisted logic to take advantage of people, I'm also going to use twisted logic back on you. Seif dinah, ketchilas dinah. The end of the din is going to be like the beginning of it. Ma tchilas dinah de islay Torah mari chad yoyma, de lesley Torah mari trey yoyma. You're saying that until now, anybody who has one ox takes care of everybody's oxen for 1 day, and anybody who has no oxen takes care of them for 2 days. So you're putting more of a responsibility on the one who has no oxen and making him do more work. So the same way at the end of it here, when the animals are dead. Anybody who had one ox gets 1 skin. Then anybody who didn't gets 2. So he's kind of using their twisted legalistic logic against them. So one thing I guess the Gemara may be pointing all this out is to be aware, you know, like this, you have the laws of the Torah, you have secular laws, and secular laws, a lot of times, you know, they're all dependent on what people come up with in a given place, and they're not always necessarily going to be so fair. You take them to their logical conclusion, and they turn out to not be so fair, as opposed to the laws of the Torah Sashem Tzmuma, Meshivas Nafesh, and so forth. So therefore, so you don't have like that with our Torah. Okay. Another example, the Gemara says, they came up with a law. The rule was that anybody who crosses the river with a ferry, Nesef Chadzul, so you have to pay 1 zuz for the fee. For the fair. Deloy of Mabra, if he didn't go on the ferry and instead he walked across and then he splashed across in the water, Nesef Trey, then he has to pay 2 zuz. Again, they use a twisted logic for this. The Yad Ramah says their excuse was, if you went in the water on your feet, then it means you took some of the river's water with you when you came out. So therefore, you should have to pay for that water that you took out. So that was another one of their twisted laws. Another one, to have a toto dota delivni, if a person would have a row of bricks set out, osikol chad b'chad, shakli chod, shakol choda, and every person would come by and take one. And afterwards, when the guy wants to take them to court, they would say, I'm not chadda d'shakli. Look, I only took one, and it's not worth a prutta, and you have no recourse against me. As we learned before, the people of Dera Mabel did the same kind of thing. Similarly, to have a shoddy tumi a shamki, if a person put out garlic or onions to dry, so the same kind of thing. Also kochad v'chad, shokol chada. Every person would come and take one clove of garlic or one onion. Omalei no chada the shokli, and again he would claim I only took one, and you don't have recourse against me in Beis Din.
The brick was less than a shovel prut.
The brick and the all these things were worth less than a shovel prut. The Gemara continues. Arba dayoni havu b'tzedoyim. In Sidoim, there were 4 Dayonim, and their names were Shakroi, the liar, the Shakruroi, the liar's liar, Zaifi, the forger, or Matzli Dina, and the one who perverted justice. So, like, they were proud of this, and, like, that was the names that they gave themselves to represent what they do as far as justice in this area. So, So the Margolius Ayan, by the way, has an interesting explanation also about the ferry, that they would charge him twice as much if he didn't take the ferry. The Margolius Ayan brings, like, they would say, they would pretend like, we're so concerned for your welfare. You go on foot on the, in the river, you're endangering yourself. So now we need to, now we need to charge you extra. We need to charge you a fine because you put yourself in danger. Okay. So the Gemara continues. If a man hit a pregnant woman, if he hit somebody else's wife, or matlale, and caused her to miscarry, where we know the Torah says in that case you have to pay dmei vlodus, you pay for the value of the children. Instead, in Sidon, they came up with a new twisted idea, or matlale, and caused her to miscarry. Amile, they would tell the assailant, they would tell the victim's husband, yahav niale, you give your wife to him, diniabra, and that way he'll get her pregnant, diniabra nihaloch, and that way he'll get her pregnant again for you. So like that was their twisted logic was, you know, if you're lacking the babies that she was carrying, so fine, he'll impregnate her again with new babies. Similarly, if a person would cut off the ear of somebody else's donkey, omrulay, they would tell him, they would tell the owner of the donkey, give the donkey to him until the ear grows back. Of course, it never grows back, so they're taking away his donkey from him unjustly. Marashar explains, again, we had the posik before, the Gemara had brought a posik, chamur yasemim yinhogu. So that's an example of this kind of thing. And Gvulis Yasigu, they're taking over other people's property. So that represents this kind of thing where they're saying that the claim would be we're not stealing the donkey from you. We're only taking it. Yinagu, we're leading it away until the EU regrows. But meanwhile, of course, it's never going to regrow. So then the Gemara continues. If a person injured poda is like petza in Hebrew, it means he wounded him. If a person wounded somebody else, amule, then the judges of Stern would tell him havle agra, pay him a fee, the shokalach dama, because he did bloodletting for you. The other b'mabra, if a person went on the ferry, then as we said before, he would pay 4 zuz. Now before we said that it was 1 zuz versus 2. He was going to say 4 versus 8. So actually there's a girsa in manuscripts that not b'mabra, but rather arba, which means in a boat. So before, mabra would have meant that he crosses not on a ferry, but before, mabra would mean that he crossed on the bridge and they would charge him a toll. Here we're talking about where he'd go on the ferry, so then the fee would be higher. But another explanation would be the Rashash, but there's another possibility that there's a difference between the locals and people from out of town. The locals, they would charge 1 versus 2, the out of towners would be 4 versus 8. So Yoiv Abozuzi would have to pay 4 zuz. The Abba Bamaya, if he crosses by going in the water, Yoiv Tamna Zuzi, then he would have to pay 8 zuzim, again, either because they would claim the water that he took out of the river, or because they would claim that you endangered yourself and they actually have to pay a fine. So the Gemara tells an example. Zimna Choda Osar Hu Kovis, a certain laundryman once came to town over there. Ikla Lahosim came to visit Sodom. Omrele Hav Dalad Zuzi. So they told him, you want to cross the river, you got to pay 4 zuzim because you crossed in the ferry. Omrehuan Noba Maya Avri. He tells them, I crossed in the water, I shouldn't have to pay anything. Well, with their laws, Omrele, they said, him can't have Tamania. In that case, then pay 8 to have it for Maya because you crossed in the water. Lo Yahiv, he doesn't want to pay, it's not fair. Padyuhu, so they beat him up and wounded him. Also, Kameh de Dayone, he comes to one of these judges of Sodom, Omrele, and the judge tells him, as we said before, Havle Agra, pay him the Shokaloch Dama because he let blood for you. Utmania Zuzi, plus you still have to pay the 8 Zuzim, the Abrit Bamaya because you crossed in the water. So their laws were, there was a certain twisted logic to them, but of course they were meant, as we said, on Amud Aleph, just to discourage people from ever visiting their town. The Gemara tells, Eliezer Eved Avraham Islami Hossam. One time Eliezer Eved Avraham visited there. Why he's visiting Sodom, we don't know, but we know that Avraham was a great Machnas Orach, so maybe he wants to invite people from Sodom also to teach them about the Eivishter and then maybe have an effect on the city, or we don't know what he was doing there.
Lot lives in Sodom,
maybe Eliezer went to visit him, that's possible, yeah. Any number of possibilities, yeah. We find, by the way, that it says that Avraham was living in Hebron at the time, after the whole story with Sodom being destroyed, and Lot with his daughters. It's that Avraham moved away from there and moved to the land of the Plishtim, and there's two reasons why. It actually mentions over there. One is because Sodom had been destroyed, and people are not passing through the area anymore, so there's nobody to be Machnas Orach. And the other, because of the reputation, because now with Lloyd and his daughters, there were rumors going around about everything, and Avraham didn't want to be around with such rumors going around, and people are gonna think that Avraham had something to do with it.
It could be two explanations, because the one about the Busha wouldn't be enough. He wouldn't care about it.
Yeah, could be. Okay. Anyway, so Eliezer Eved Avraham Yisra'mi Hossam. So one time Eliezer Eved Avraham visited Sidon, Padyuhi, and somebody beat him and wounded him. Why would they have done that? The Yad Ramah says that actually this person owed Eliezer money. So now when Eliezer came, so he learns that Eliezer came to collect the debt. And now when he came and he wanted to collect the debt, then it said the guy injured him. And since, as we said, the laws in Sidon were that if you injure somebody, then he has to pay you. So the guy figured he'll get out of paying his debt that way. Also Kameh Dayona, so Eliezer comes in front of the judge, Omale, and of course the judge tells him, as you said before, Havlei Agra, pay him, the Shokaloch Doma, because he let blood for you. Well, instead of, now this Kovis, we said, was, that's it, the story ended over there, right? The Kovis didn't think that he had any further recourse. Eliezer was smarter than that. Shokal Glola, he took a Glola, which Rashi translates as Rashi translates two possibilities, it means a stick or a stone. Padyuhi, and he wounded the Dayan. Padyuhi, Ihu the Dayana, he wounded the Dayan. Omer Maihai, then the judge says, what are you doing to me? Omalei, so Eliezer tells him, Agra, denofik li minoch. Listen, the money that now you should have to pay me for bloodletting for you, have me alei, give straight to this other guy, which supposedly I owe him for him having wounded me. It'll be like what the Gemara calls elsewhere, Shibudad Abnasin. Reuben owes Shimon and Shimon owes Levi. Then you just take the money straight from Reuben and pay it to Levi. My money will stay intact instead of me having to pay him. And you'll have to pay me, instead you just pay him directly and leave me out of it. So again, the point is that Eliezer was able to use their laws and their twisted logic and everything against them. Rashi also brings another girsa, Ulavai Koi Koi. The Dayan says, you know, I wish I was like in the situation I was in the first place. Like, in other words, I wish I never got involved over here, because you're right, based on our laws, now I have no choice but to pay that guy. Okay. The Gemara continues. Havalahu Puyasa. In Stoim, they had a bed. They have a magne alo urchin. When people would come to visit, they would have them stay in that bed. Kimarich, if the guy was too long was too tall for the bed, guys delayed, and they would cut off parts of his body to make him fit the bed. Rashi brings a different gear, so Gaitsu, which means they would make him shorter. So Gai Z actually gives two groups of stories. Gaitsu, or Gai D. Gaitsu, it means they would make him short. They would shorten him. Gai D means to cut off. I mean, the gears that we have in front of us in the Gemara with a Zion also means they would cut. Anyway, Ki Guts, and if the guy's too short, Maskin Lay, then they would stretch him to fit the bed until his limbs are dislocated. Eliezer Eved Avraham Iklalahosim. One time Eliezer Eved Avraham visited there. Maybe it was the same visit as before. Maybe it was a different one. Omrule Kum Goni Apuya. So they offer him to sleep on this bed. But he realizes what they're going to do. Omrulahoin. He tells them, Nidra Nadri. I made a neder. Min Yoimid Misas Ima. Ever since my mother died, Lo Ganina Apuya. I never sleep in the girsa on the side of here. It brings an interesting girsa. Ever since Sarah passed away, although that's a little hard to understand because Sarah passed away only many years after Sodom was destroyed. Anyway, maybe counted on the fact that they wouldn't know that. Anyway, ever since my mother died, or ever since Sarah died, Lo Ganina Apuya, I've never slept on a bed. So therefore, that's how he got out of sleeping on this bed. Marashah says this is another one of those things that refers back to those psukim, Adam and Aleph, where again, the Gemara had brought four psukim without explaining what we learn from them. One of them is, Vahuli Kvores Yuval, he's brought to the grave, Vau Godish Yishkoid, and he spends his time by a Godish, by a heap of grain. So Marashal says, that's hinting at the story over here. Eliezer is saying, because my mother was brought to the grave, therefore, I'm staying by a Godish. If I'm going to sleep, it's going to be on a stack of grain or something like that, rather than on a bed. Okay, the Gemara tells another case. He have a misrami lahu anya. If a poor person did show up in town, yahavale kochad v'chad dinra. Every person, they're not going to openly. The point is, the Gemara is making with all of these things is they weren't openly going and saying we're cruel and we're mean and whatever. They put on a face on it like we're really nice people and we want to do the best for people who come to town. So meanwhile, Yorvalei Kochad v'chad dinra, every person would give him a coin, v'kosev shmei elaveh alei, but each person would write his name on the coin. V'riftalei havamamtilei, nobody would offer him any food. They made a deal between them, nobody will, he has money, but he's going to come to any store and offer, that offer these coins for payment, and they won't accept it from him. The storekeepers would know, basically, that any coin, anytime you see coins with names on them, you don't accept them. So eventually the guy dies of hunger. Ki havamis, when he dies, osi kochad v'chad shokol digay, each person would come and take back his coin. So that way, they put on a face as though they're being big bali tzedaka, but yeah. Another thing, hochi asni benayu, they made the following condition between them. Kolman demazmin gavra lebehilula, if a person invites a guest, that was not from town, I guess, to a wedding, l'shalach glima, then he will be stripped of his clothing. So one time there was a wedding there. Ikla Eliezer lahasim, Eliezer again visited over there. V'lo yah v'lo nama, and they weren't giving him any food. Ki boilam misad, when it came time for the suda. Osa Eliyo v'yosef v'sefer dekula. Eliezer came to the hall and sat at the end of all of them, at the end of the table. Omru lei, they asked him, man az, they didn't recognize him. Man az menoch lahacha, who invited you here? And whoever that person is going to be punished. Amalehu, he answers them, Lahudi Yosef. He says to the person sitting next to him, Atazamantam, you're the one who invited me. Now the guy is concerned. Now they're going to, Omar, he says to himself, Dumashami bidan no azminite, other people are going to overhear that I invited him, Omashauchile money, and they're going to strip me of my clothes. Omashauchile money, Dahai Gabra, they're going to strip off that person, meaning my clothes. Shokol glimi ahu diyosef gabe. So the guy sitting next to him picks up his coat, Verohat labora, and he runs off. V'chein avad v'chulu, and Eliezer keeps on doing the same kind of thing over and over in different places throughout the hall. Ad naki kulu, until eventually everybody left. V'ochlo ihulu sudasa, and then Eliezer had himself a nice meal. Here also, Marashah says, this is represented in one of the psukim that we had before, the pasuk, Orum Yalinu Mibililavush, they would stay overnight, or they would go without clothing, the Inksus Bakara, and there's nothing to cover them in the cold, so that represents the story where we're saying that they would tell people, we're going to strip you of your clothing, and you're going to be naked and cold, because you invited somebody to a wedding. So Eliezer was able to outwit them. Another thing that happened in Sidon, Havya, he revisa, there was a certain young girl in Sidon, Davas Kamatka Riftel Anya, she would take out bread for poor people, Bechatzva, in her jug. When she would go out to draw water, she would hide bread in it, and then she would give to poor people, on the way. In the Medrash, it says that this was one of Lloyd's daughters. So she actually learned this kind of chesed from her father. Anyway, Iglaim Milsa, eventually they figured it out, the Medrash explains, Mephoshim explained, that eventually they realized this poor person is not dying like they should expect them to, and so they trailed her and they found out what's going on. Shafua, they punished her as follows. Shafua Dosha, they smeared her body with honey, V'ukmu al Igar Shura, and they put her on the top of the wall of the city. Also Ziburi V'achlua, and bees came and they want the honey, and meanwhile they're stinging her and they're eating her, and so she died. Thus the pasuk says, "Vayema Hashem zaka Sdom v'amoda ki rova." The outcry of Sdom and Amoda is very great. Now, if it just means the outcry of the victims, then you wouldn't say the cry of Sdom and Amoda. It should say the cries of the victims of Sdom and Amoda. So it means the cries of somebody in Sdom and Amoda itself who was treated badly. And the Omer of Yehuda Amarav al Iskei Riva, the word Rova in the pasuk over there is related to the word Riva, a girl. So because of this matter involving the girl, then therefore that Hashem decided the Gzardin on them. Okay. So that's that with the people of Sidon. Next, we send the Mishnah Meraglim Ema Em Chelik L'Mabah. The Meraglim have no place in the Mabah. Shenemer Vayamusu Anoshem Etziyah Demas Eretz Yisrael Abba Magefa. The people who said Loshen Hara about Eretz Yisrael died in a plague. So the expression Vayamusu and Bamagefa. Vayamusu Bo'olamazer Bamagefa Lo'olamabah. Hagoris Agro takes this out because we did have it in the Mishnah. But on the other hand, we said that maybe on the contrary, it doesn't belong in the Mishnah and it belongs over here. Then we said Adas Kur, we talked about before though, that there is an explanation, that's an explanation in some places, that it means that the Meraglim and the people of the Dor HaMidbar are on such a high level, they don't need Olam HaBa, they're beyond that whole concept already. Next, Adas Korach Ein Lam Chelek Lam HaBa, the group of Korach does not have a place in Lam HaBa. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, The pasuk says that the earth covered them up, which means in this world. And when it says they were lost from among the congregation, that means in olam haba. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says no, they do have a place. I skipped a few lines. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. So it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Hakol olam haba. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says no, they do have a place in olam haba. Aleim Omer Akosu. The pasuk says about the people of Korach's group that Hashem meimus mechaya. Hashem kills and Hashem brings alive. Murdered Sheol Vayal, Hashem brings down to Sheol, to the grave and to Gehenim, and Hashem brings up. And as we learned before, that was actually part of Chana's Shira, and Chana and Elkanah themselves are descended from Korach, so she's saying on behalf of her ancestors that they should be taken out of there and have a chelik l'olam haba. Next, the Tana Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Adas Korach Ein Lam Chelik L'Amba, Shenemar again, because the Pesach says, V'tachas Aleim Maharetz Ba'olam Hazeh, V'yobzim Yisrael HaKol Olam Haba, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Again, Rabbi Akiva is saying they have no Chelik L'Olam Haba. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, no, they do have a Chelik L'Olam Haba, Harehen Ka'aveda HaMisbakeshes. Even though the Pesach says, V'yobzim, don't think, he says to Rabbi Akiva, that it means they're lost and then they're gone completely. The word V'yobzim can mean they're like a lost object, which you're looking for and you will find. Shenemar, as we find that David asks about them, Toisi kiseh oved, have swayed like a lost sheep, Bakesh abdecha, but Hashem, seek out your servant, Ki mitzvesecha lo shachachti, because I did not forget your mitzvahs. In other words, the fact is, they did keep the mitzvahs, the people of Korach, as we're going to have, as we go through the story of the year, we're going to see they did keep the mitzvahs. So in context, the pasuk is talking about the golos of the Jewish people. But the point is that we see the word aveda can be something dover hamavakish. The Dover HaMisbakish. But Rashi points out also the fact is that we're saying you after all, they did keep the mitzvahs, Ki Chol Eidim, Kolim Kedoshim, so therefore Hashem credit that to them and give them a place in Olam Haba. So the Gemara will continue, and we'll continue tomorrow, Best Hashem, analyzing the whole story of the of Adas Korach and everything that's involved in that.
How did you
everyone.